Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. I have only 5 words for you. From my cold, dead hands.
It's time for Gun Radio Utah. No apologies. A show dedicated to preserving and protecting your constitutional right to bear arms for your security and sport. Here's your host, well-known gun rights advocate and chairman of the Utah Shooting Sports Council, Clark Apotian.
Welcome to Gun Radio Utah. I'm your host, Clark Apotian. There are no apologies. Bill, do you have any apologies?
I have none today.
You have no apologies?
No apologies, no forgiveness, nothing.
Beautiful day. Beautiful day in the pre-record rule, in the pre-record
bunker
world.
We call this the P-word, pre-record bunker. Yeah.
We're secretly
we're actually
recording.
In a bunker. I feel like we're in a bunker.
It's because of the Kung Flu.
Yeah.
It's the Kung Flu bunker. We've got a show for you today, though. I'll tell you, listener requests. We're going to do that. We've got a whole segment on that, Bill.
Yeah.
About what to do when the fuzz pulls you over and wants to oppress you. What do you do as a concealed firearm permit holder? A law-abiding concealed firearm permit holder. What do you do when the man is oppressing you?
And we're also going to talk about ways to carry your concealed firearm in your vehicle as you're traveling through this lovely valley or throughout the state, great state of Utah.
Are we going with the dangling from the rearview mirror also as an option?
That's an option.
Yeah. Okay, good, because so. I'm looking forward to hearing that one. Polls. We've got a poll from Rasmussen, and we've got a poll from, what's the other? Gallup. Gallup. I always think of a horse when I think of the poll. Gallup, yep. The Gallup poll. Then we have to discuss the Democratic nominee for president's pick for vice president, the vice presidentiary.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris. And should you vote for her?
If you're
a 2A kind of person, if you're not necessarily a big 2A person, but you have a gun and you want to keep that gun, should you consider voting for Kamala? Is it Kamala or Kamala? Pence said it like 6 different ways.
Different ways.
So I have another way, Kamala. And we're not going there. So anyway, we're going to talk about that. Oh, Bill.
Yes.
When you originally got your concealed carry permit, did you have to pay some extra money to get it ahead of the line, to get it considered, to get it so that you were issued your permit?
Well, I had to pay a lot of extra money to my instructor.
Did you?
Oh, well, hold it. That was you.
Yeah.
No, I did not have to pay any extra money.
We're going to talk about the difference between may issue states like California, New York, New Jersey, and shall issue states like Utah.
Right.
And some of the things that can happen in the may issue states, and we're gonna look at that. We're gonna look at somebody indicted.
Is that a new category then? Shall issue if?
Well, let's call it bribery issue.
Okay.
Or pay to play.
Pay to play.
I guess pay to play.
I like it.
We're gonna talk about that. And I had something else on here and now I can't find it because we're in the bunker. And the bunker isn't like a regular studio.
No, it's not. It's kind of dark in here.
Yeah, it is.
And I can't see you.
you really can't?
Yeah. I mean, I really can't see.
I now remembered what it was. East Hartford, Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The president of East Hartford, Connecticut's police union says that some department-issued pistols do not shoot straight. For some people. But when they give them to other people, they shoot straight. But for some people, they don't shoot straight. So we're going to find out why they consider that a problem. So
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but let's talk. Let's go to, you know, we've got plenty of time. And I do want to go to a poll. Gallup does a poll. about every month. And they have done a poll for decades, literally decades, in which they ask questions. And they say, just kind of an open-ended, what is the most important thing or most dangerous thing? What's the most important thing that you, as a United States citizen, are worried about? Right now, this month, what is it? And what do you think?
Well, was this done before Biden's pick or after?
This is done both, before and after.
Before and
after. It's every month. They do this. Okay. They do this poll every month, and they, like I said, they've been. I think I can go back to the 40s when they had asked this question. So, one of the things that I heard, Kamala Harris, vice presidential pick, say that she took on the gun lobby and won. Well, if she took on the gun lobby, first off, well, then why is she still worried about controlling guns if she won? And next, she says that Americans want gun control. They want, you know, no guns. They want confiscation, mandatory, all sorts of stuff. Gun buybacks and background checks, all this kind of thing. So what do the American people say, and what have they said? Well, let's look at the number of people, the percentage of people that say guns are the most, gun control and guns are the most pressing issue. That would be 0.5% this last month.
Wow. So it's going to be interesting because you know how you bring up, I mean, the Democrats have used the gun control policy as kind of a staple to their campaign. But we know during this crisis, this COVID, the pandemics, the rioting and everything, gun sales has gone up.
Record. And when I say record sales, setting, it's like never before have we seen so many background checks, so many guns being sold to existing gun owners and new gun owners alike. In fact, another point that I was talking to you about earlier is that, you know, during the during the election when he was first elected, and then second, when he was second elected, and then the Hillary election where she didn't make it because of the vast right-wing conspiracy. So we saw these huge spikes in firearm sales. However, the majority of them were for long guns, rifles and shotguns. Guess what? Now it's 60%, almost 70% handguns that are attributing to this spike. Why, Bill? Why are there more handguns being sold now?
Well, and that's where I was
spike?
Kind of leading you into this, because I think there's a lot more interest in family and personal protection. And with the number of sales going up, how's this going to be even a debatable topic for the Democratic Party?
I think it's a bad topic for them.
I think they should avoid it and run away from it because it doesn't fit their narrative right now.
Well, they're not connected with the people, quite honestly. They're disassociated with them. In fact, this year there was a Rasmussen poll that was done to say, you know, stricter gun control. Should we have support for stricter gun control laws? Now, I really hate these kind of questions. Like Rasmussen Report puts the words into their mouths and then they say yes or no. I like the Gallup one that says it's open-ended. You tell us what the problem is. And those that say, you know, we need more gun control, blah, 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 then they check off that one. Rasmussen says this, and that presupposes that you know exactly what the gun laws are right now, and are they working and are they not working and so on and so forth. So thank you, I got that. And all I can tell you is this, that given all of the stuff and all the more guns being purchased and concealed carry permits and AR-15s flooding the streets, literally, I was walking through the parking lot, AR-15, I'm shuffling through them because they're just all over there. They're in the gutters, they're everywhere. Did you know that the poll from last year to this year 12% down. 12% of the people changed their position and said that they did not support stricter gun control laws. And that was from Rasmussen, which has never been a bastion of conservative thought.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
So 12% down this year, and the Democrats, especially the so-called described moderate, Kamala Harris.
Yeah. So we're about 80 days out from the election, and I remember when Obama ran, and during this time, gun sales went up, pistols, rifles, ammunition, everything. We already can't get ammunition for handguns. We already can't find handguns. What's the next 80 days going to look like for gun owners?
You know what? Like I said, I think that right now, as we're talking, second week in August, where a used Glock is costing you $700, we're going to refer to this as the good old days.
The good old days.
I think so.
I think you're right.
And when you're paying double for a box of ammo, I think we will consider that, oh, I wish I'd have bought that even at that price.
Yeah.
And now when, you know, we're paying $1.50 a round for 9 mil, you know, in 80 days. Actually, I think it's going to be, depending on how the election goes, prices may come down on that Wednesday in November, or they may go straight through the roof.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, think about it. Do you have enough? And you don't need to necessarily be investing in ammunition or guns, but you probably want to make sure, if you were thinking about getting one, especially one that might be on the list that says, you know, the perceived bad one, if it's a black gun and it has a flash suppressor on it, you might want to buy that now, even though the prices may be a little high.
I don't want
to be the doom and gloom person.
Right. But I've had a lot of people asking me, going, Bill, where can I get a gun? Where can I get a gun? I got people on Facebook, Bill, where can I get a gun? Nobody has guns. And I'm like, you know what? If you find something, it looks right, you might want to just take it and
consider it like 3 months ago, when the price for toilet paper was double and you bought it anyway. Because nobody wants to be without toilet paper and nobody wants to be without guns when both are in need.
I got a guy that I'm working on very hard. I'm trying to convince to come on to the show. He's a first-time gun buyer. And he was kind of one of these guys that was like, nope, I'll never buy a gun. I'll never have a gun. Now he's like, I need a gun. And
yeah.
I would like to get him on, just have him explain his story and his reasoning why. So,
well, I want to know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about, we're going to talk about a pay to play for concealed carry permits. Pay to play for concealed carry permits. What's the running cost for a concealed carry permit in California right now?
$100.
No, more.
More. Okay.
A lot more. When we come back on Gun Radio Utah, stay tuned.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Protecting and preserving your constitutional right to bear arms. It's Gun Radio Utah on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Here's your host, Clark Kaposian.
So welcome back to Gun Radio Utah. No apologies. It's a beautiful day here on the day that we are recording, which is this week. But it's not necessarily the day that you're listening to it, because thank you, the country of China. Thank you to China. Yes, we went there, and there are no apologies. Sitting across from me is Bill Pedersen. We're both members of the Utah Shooting Sports Council. Did you want to say something, Bill?
No, I was just saying, in the other side of the bunker here, and I cannot see you, so I'm glad you can see my hand signals. We produce this and mix it all.
I see all your hand signals, by the way.
Yeah, oh, good.
I can totally see your hand signals there, Bill. I meant to talk to you about that. Anyway, so, you know, I often remark as to how lucky we are to live in the great state of Utah with its extremely permissive gun laws. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek in that, you know, the Second Amendment is the, you know, in the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. And that's the gun law. That's the gun law that we should be worried about. And we have to ask permission from the man to carry a permit discreetly. And so, yeah, and so we're thankful for the little, for the crumbs that the man gives us, like a permit to carry one discreetly for our own defense. So, but what would happen? And so it's all relative. Utah, we have, I like to say, one of, if not the most permissive states in the nation for carrying a firearm, owning firearms, different kinds of firearms, buying them, selling them, transferring them, shooting them, that type of thing. But, you know, I come from the Republic of California, especially the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area, the East Bay. And in fact, I'm going back there this, I leave again on Sunday. I have to go run back there for something. And then I'm coming right back, So is that there's a county in the south area, Santa Clara County, near San Jose in that. And Sheriff Laurie Smith is now contending with allegations that her and her one of her captains and maybe somebody else in her sheriff's department have been selling concealed carry permits. So I asked you before, how much would you say it would go for? Let's say you had some employees with your company and you wanted to get them all concealed carry permits in California. You know what the going cost for that is? Say you had six. Well, Let's say you had six employees.
I would imagine it's two policeman ball tickets for each employee with a donation, a couple hundred bucks.
Okay, $90,000.
$90,000,
Bill, for your six employees to get a concealed carry permit. Now, but you get one, and each of them get a concealed carry permit. Now, what do I make that check out to? Do I make it directly to Sheriff Laurie Smith, or do I make it to her captain? What was her captain's name? I was looking on here. And her captain was, anyway, her captain was kind of spearheading this. And in addition to Narhal Nupal and another attorney, some private companies and this kind of stuff, that essentially said, found out, okay, they made the check to a Santa Clara County, you know, Friends of Laurie Smith reelection campaign, something
oh my
like
gosh.
That. And then, lo and behold, they got concealed carry permits.
Dang.
Now, how likely is it that when their application...
I wouldn't have to sit through a four-hour class and listening to you to harp on gun code?
Apparently not.
Wow.
Apparently not. That's what $90,000 gets you.
Oh, my gosh.
So to give you an idea, in California, it's the concealed carry permit is good throughout the state. But as opposed to Utah, which is issued by the Department of Public Safety, Bureau of Criminal Identification, they're issued via the county sheriffs or the local law enforcement. And typically the police departments don't do it there. It's the county sheriff. And then you apply to the county sheriff. But the reason, the subjectivity, if there is any, is centered in state law. And you just have to show that you need a permit. You know, somebody's out to kill me, blah, blah, blah. I don't like that. I've never have liked that. I think the need would be demonstrated for lawful self-defense if you can show one person that was ever attacked in the state. And that means, well, then I get to carry a gun for self-defense. Anyway, so you're 14 times more likely if you make a donation between $45,000 and $90,000 to the sheriff's reelection campaign to get your permit. 14 times more likely. So I'm going to go ahead and chalk that up onto. Oh, I think, yeah, I think that there might be a trend there. Now, for those of us that lived in California, especially in the Bay Area and in some of the more populated counties and areas, we knew this has been going on for forever. We knew that. In fact, I used to tell people, some people would come up to me and say, well, how do I get a permit? I live in Marin County. I live in San Francisco. Well, then I just say, you know, forget it. Buy a house somewhere outside of the county or the city.
But, you know, I live in Alameda or something like that. And I'd say, you know what? Make a donation to the sheriff's reelection campaign. That's and I wasn't funny. Kidding. And they said, well, how much? I said, I don't know what the going rate is now, but I'd probably start at $10,000 and work up. And wow. And that's essential. I guess now you do have to go up. 90,000 divided by six. But anyway.
Okay, so how did this all make the news all of a sudden?
Well, somebody leaked. Somebody tattled. Somebody blabbed.
$90,000, I probably would, yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently somebody only paid half of that and they got theirs. But the other thing is, they and one of the defendants, no, actually one of the people that are working for the prosecution that's blabbing to the prosecution said, otherwise, if you just send in your regular citizen, just send in your application via the website that is on the, you know, that's on the sheriff's page. If you just do that, your permit doesn't even get reviewed. It just gets tossed. Nobody knows another thing about it, and your phone calls don't get answered.
Wow.
So that's basically what we're dealing with. And this is not all, at all unusual. New Jersey, New York, Hawaii, California. Now, oddly enough, most of the counties in California, number-wise, are fairly easy or consistent to get a concealed carry permit. It's Alameda County, San Francisco County, Santa Clara County, some of these other L.A. County. You just can't do it. So, oh, hey, you know what? I got to talk. You know, in fact, you know what? I'll do it on the next segment. We're going to talk about the gunsmith at Sportsman's Warehouse because I can't do it in 12 seconds, Bill.
I'm sorry.
I can't do it in 12 seconds. But when we come back, we are going to talk about what to do when the man pulls you over.
Awesome. Sounds great. When we come back, listening to Gun Radio Utah.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire six shots or only five? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself.
Apology is a word not allowed on this show. Clark Kaposian is back with Gun Radio Utah.
And welcome back to Gun Radio Utah. Glad to have you with us on this warm Saturday afternoon. And hopefully you've had a chance to maybe go out, do some early shooting with the cool weather. And for all of our big game hunters, I know this is the big opening day for archery season. And so if you're out there in the hills listening to us on Pirate Radio, iHeartMedia, podcasting.
KNRS.com/media. Yeah. That's your podcast site.
On the AM side, we rarely talk about the AM side, but there is an AM side of this.
AM 570.
Station. Yep. So welcome. And glad to have you with us on this Saturday afternoon. Now, we're just talking about, we're going to talk about some interesting items of, you know, what to do when the man pulls you over and maybe how to better carry your firearm within your vehicle.
Okay, so you're driving down the road.
Yep.
And
on your ATV.
That was my driving down the road thing. And I tell you, Uinta County, more people are driving ATVs on the road than cars. But anyway, so you're driving down the road and the red and blues come up behind you and you're like, oh, you know. And you hand a baggie to your wife. Here, hide this. No.
That's awesome.
And you know, and you have that period of time where they pull up behind you, and they never run out of the car, jump out of the car, and walk up to your. They always sit there for a bit, and so you've got this time, you've got this thing, and you're thinking, okay, do I have my license and my registration and my insurance? I never can find the registration. It's in the other kit. Blah blah blah. And you're thinking, what did I do? And did he see that? And you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I have a gun. Do I tell him that I have a gun? Am I supposed to tell him I have a gun? Do I hide it from the fact? What if he asks me? Do I tell the truth? So let me tell you. So first off, one, you don't have to mention. I mean, if you have a gun and you have a permit or either or. You have a permit and a gun. You have a permit but no gun. You have a gun, no permit. It doesn't matter. 7610-505 says you can have a handgun in your car loaded even without a permit. But should you mention it to them? Well, that's up to you. If you feel the need to mention to them that you have a gun, maybe as they're walking up to the window, yell out, I have a gun.
Not a good idea.
Okay. All right, let me rethink that. At some point, you kind of want to ease into the I have a gun, kind of like an old man easing into a bathtub, very slowly and carefully. And you might want to say the word like, if you have a permit, say, hey, if you're choosing to tell them, because you don't have to. It used to be an administrative rule, 722.312, that required you to notify law enforcement at your first opportunity. That rule's gone.
Well, you I think that's why people panic is because they're like, oh, I just got pulled over. I've got a gun, but I don't have my permit with me. Oh, crap, I'm in trouble.
Well, but you don't have to have your permit with you. And you don't even have to have a permit even issued to you to have a handgun in your car.
In the car, exactly.
So, and you're thinking, you know, and then where is it? Well, what if it's, you know, in the small of my back? How am I going to get it out to show it to them? Well, first off, don't. Resist the urge to show them your gun, all right? It's always a bad idea. And most holsters are designed to be accessed and presented, the gun presented from the holster, while you're in a standing or position, but not, ideally, while you're sitting in a car. Unless it's a shoulder holster or a cross draw. Because think about it. Most of the holsters carried at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, small the back, that kind of thing, are going to be somewhat hampered by your seatbelt, which you're supposed to be wearing your seatbelt. Yeah. And so that's one other thing they'll get you on if you're not wearing that. And so anyway, but should you mention it to them? You know, if you're going to have to get out of the car and they say, hey, you got a broken taillight back here. Well, really, I don't think so. Or, you know, show me where your sticker, I don't know, whatever. For some reason, if you have to get out of the car and your gun is going to be visible or you're going to have to go sit in their car, I would recommend you may want to mention to them that you have a gun. And that, and keep your hands, you know, visible, not like, I have a gun here, see, I'll show you. And don't do that. You know, if you have a permit, say, hey, you know what, I've got a permit to carry a firearm. It's in my glove box, or it's on my hip, or it's on my ankle, or it's, you know, wherever.
I think that's the best way to explain it.
And then let them,
a permit.
Yeah, and then let them decide.
They know
now.
They know where you're going with the conversation. Yeah, and then,
I will tell you this. If they pull up behind you and they run your tag, your license plate, they can find out who the RO, the registered owner, is. And if they assume that the registered owner is driving the car, which is not always the case, if they assume the RO is driving the car, they can run that name all the while before they even get your driver's license. And that name, if it's, especially if it's a unique enough name like mine,
a Potion.
Yeah, that they can, they'll do an automatic search to see if you have a concealed carry permit issued. Now, all that means is they're assuming the registered owner is driving the car, and they assume that if you have a permit, you're automatically carrying. So that's making two assumptions, but they could do that. So it's up to you whether you mention it or not. Technically speaking, under a Utah Supreme Court ruling in dictum, which was not part of the original case, you know, it's an improper question to ask for in a normal administrative stop. Do you have any guns in the car? And now, I mean, obviously, if they come up to you and you've got bullet holes in the back seat and there's blood leaking out of them and this kind of stuff, yeah, they're going to ask the question. It's not an administrative stop anymore. But if it's, you know, if it's 10 over or a broken taillight or, you know, you breeze through a stop sign, it's an administrative stop. And Supreme Court, Utah Supreme Court has said it's an improper question to ask if you have any guns in the car. It delays the stop. And I mean, what's to stop them from just asking all sorts of things and, you know, you're there for half an hour on the side of the road. So it's up to you. Now, a lot of people say, well, if it's an improper question, then I can lie. No, you can't lie. If you choose to answer the question, answer honestly.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you choose to answer now, you don't have to necessarily answer the question. You don't have to say anything. You're probably going to get a ticket, too, because that's kind of the way it works. I guess they'll base that ticket on your attitude. But so now, another question. And so should you mention it? Yeah. I mean, if you're... You know, you don't have to, certainly don't have to. But if they ask you if you have any, you can take it up with their duty sergeant, their chief, the next day.
I kind of say, you know, how long do you want to stay there?
Yeah.
You know, if you got some time to kill, then
yeah.
But
yeah. So now, what about, Bill, where do you keep your gun in the car? And I'm not going to ask you to tell me exactly where you keep your gun in the car.
Yeah,
but
bring up a really good point.
What if you got it on your hip or somewhere just behind, you know, carrying somewhere between small the back and your hip, or maybe even appendix? does your seatbelt get in the way? Yeah, I would think your seatbelt would get in the way of a presentation from the holster, or if you've got that. And a lot of folks, so now what, oh, sorry, I just bopped the microphone. That was pretty loud. So this is the bunker. This is the bunker equipment. Is that when you are grabbing the gun, is, you know, if you're trying to grab it from a seated position like that, a shoulder holster works great. But let me tell you, can you imagine wearing a shoulder holster in 100 degree heat? No. And this kind of stuff? And, you know, nobody wears those except for 1970s police detectives.
Well, the challenge is with the seatbelt is it's in it. You know, if you're right handed, it's always going to be in the way. If you're left-handed,
I hadn't really thought about that. Switch to left, because they don't have left-handed seatbelts, do they?
No, but the problem is that you know, things start snagging up, and I've seen many vehicles where carjackings have occurred, and the person gets hung up on the seatbelt.
Oh, I actually watched it. You know, the other thing about seatbelts, I was getting out. My truck has an interesting seatbelt on it that if I don't completely get it off to the side, it takes my knife out of my pocket.
Oh, wow.
I'm dead serious. It catches on the little belt clip or the little pocket clip, yep, and it takes my knife out. And I'm like, irritating. So
here's some ideas for others. I always thought, you know, they make those little sticky pads for cell phones on your dashboard.
They're sticky, but they're not.
Yeah, it's tacky.
Yeah, they're real tacky. Yeah. Okay.
Tacky. You could lay one of those down and then just set your handgun on the dashboard.
Really?
I would point it toward the windshield.
Really? You're going with that? You're going to go with the tacky gun mat on your dashboard?
Okay, I'll go with the a roll of duct tape, like a brand new roll. It won't slide. Sticks to the dashboard, and you can use it like a cup holder.
Technically speaking, I like this better than the sticky dash mat thing. Okay, but what about the magnets? You know those neodymium rare earth magnets that they can mount just under your console kind of thing?
So
kind
I got to tell
near
you,
your knee.
My neighbor comes up to me. He bought a new car. Well, it wasn't new. It was used.
You mean a vehicle car?
A vehicle car.
Because there's a gun called a car, too.
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. And so he comes up to me. He goes, Bill, this is a nice car. I go, yeah, let's check it out. And he goes, but I got this thing underneath the dashboard.
No,
I don't
you're
know
kidding.
What it is. And I looked at it, and I started laughing. I go, well, that's a magnet. He goes, a magnet for what? I go, that's where you place your handgun. And he goes, oh,
wait,
bonus.
Did this come as an option on his vehicle?
No, he bought a used vehicle. All right. And it went along with the Sig Sauer stickers in the window, and he didn't realize it.
Cool.
So now
I've had a question. So I got to tell you, you know, the innovation in gun and gun accessories is just fantastic in the United States. So, one, obviously you wouldn't want to leave your gun there, but it would make for an easy access of the gun, because the gun just, it's these magnet things, it just, really super strong. I mean, really, really strong magnets. And they mount this thing, and then your gun just like, clunk, just, you know, sticks right to it.
Yeah.
And you can take it off, I mean, obviously. But even with a Glock, the polymer frame Glock, because the slide is still steel. And so I had a question. Well, one thing that's always kind of bugged me on that, Bill, mm-hmm, is I've seen videos and this kind of stuff, and I get it. So many times they're crossing their legs or their knee or their foot with this gun as they grab the gun.
Yeah.
And can you imagine in a expedited, exigent panic moment, you grab that gun and then you put your finger on the trigger and you have a recipe for disaster. You go there to defend yourself and you shoot yourself. So,
well, and I've seen some.
But I'm not saying I'm not saying that overall it's a bad idea.
Well, some of those also rack the slide, too. That scares the crap out of me.
But why are they carrying it unloaded in the first place, though?
Yeah, that's what I said.
What's this whole deal about racking this? I mean,
it's the intimidation factor.
You should double rack it.
Away.
Double rack it, and then two rounds come out at the same time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but a question was, will it magnetize your gun? And I ask you, would it magnetize your gun?
Not mine.
Well, why not? Why won't it magnetize your gun?
I mean, it's strong enough to hold it in place, but I don't think it's strong enough to magnetize it. If it did, it would be very...
I think it would be kind of cool. Because
light.
Think about it.
Maybe
if you were not using brass ammo, but you're using some steel case, the cheaper Russian steel case handgun rounds, And as you shoot, you could collect your cases at the same time. They'd just be sticking all over your slide.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
I like it.
So
maybe
there's
we
that.
Should talk to our friends at Sportsman's Warehouse and see if we can get some of those magnetics.
You know, the gunsmith at Sportsman's Warehouse, I think they probably have that. And I'm pretty sure they have the batteries.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they have the magnets over at Legacy.
Yeah.
Shooting. But the gunsmith at Sportsman's Warehouse, if your gun is magnetized, I'll bet they could fix that. They can clean and oil it. They can do finishing, Cerakoting, engraving. They can do sights. In fact, I just talked to somebody today. They're having new sights put on. Barrel and action work. They can work on your stock, handguns, revolvers and pistols, shotguns, rifles, and I have a few weird ones over there, including a four-barreled 357 Magnum, and I may or may not have a street sweeper over there. So they can work on all those guns. They can find parts and fix it, even if you're missing parts. Even if the parts are not available, they can literally make a part to make your gun work like it used to work before you broke it, before you took it apart to clean it, and now you don't know how to put it back together. Yes, I'm certain that they have received bags and boxes of gun parts that are clean, just don't know how to put them back together over there. And that's Sportsman's Warehouse, and take them to any Sportsman's Warehouse over the over 100 locations here in the United States, and they'll get it right to the gunsmith for you. When we come back on Gun Radio Utah, lots to talk about. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Gun Radio Utah with Clark Apulsion on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know.
And welcome back to Gun Radio Utah. I am your host, Clark Apulsion. There are no apologies. Bill Patterson sits across from me. We're both members of the Utah Shooting Sports Council. You can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of the Utah Shooting Sports Council at large at utahshootingsportscouncil.org. UtahShootingSportsCouncil.org and drop us a note. Or you can go on the Gun Radio Utah Facebook page, too.
Yeah. Find us all over the place.
You can go to Gun Radio Utah Facebook page and ask us questions. So, East Hartford, Connecticut Police Department says that they got a batch of Glocks and they are shooting low and to the left and high and to the right. So, my first question is, stop slapping the trigger.
Okay. Yeah, it almost sounds like what they're doing, yeah.
They're mashing or slapping the trigger. They need better trigger control. And that was and I'm reading, you know, halfway through this article. And they're talking about this. And then I'm thinking, and then they finally come out that they had a Glock representative show up at the police department, check it out, and say, well, what you got to do is you got to move these sights all the way to the right for the ones that are moving to the left. And they were basically had to adjust the sight so far they were literally hanging off the edge of the gun, I guess.
Oh, wow.
So apparently there was a batch of them. But this is unusual. This is unusual that most of the time, because I've been there at the Glock factory in Smyrna, Georgia, where they have tested them and made sure they shoot straight. Every gun, and they do it with a proof load, they do it with, you know, testing and that. So I'm surprised that this happened. And I'm also kind of wondering, how did this happen? What is it that makes the guns not shoot straight and some that do shoot straight? Is it, I don't know, some defect in the end of the barrel or something. But so, and it said, they said, East Hartford, we looked up there's a website that you can look up shooting stats and missed shots and this kind of stuff. So I looked them up. They're not so great. They're at about 24% hit ratio in East Hartford, Connecticut. And
this is the police officers.
Well, that's actually a little bit better than average across the nation.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. It just is what it is.
Wow.
So, And the police chief said, well, you know, we have these guns. How are we supposed to hit what we aim at? You know, if we get out there, we can't be just adjusting, you know, Kentucky windage and that. And I'm thinking, well, how is this different than anything else?
Oh, no.
So actually, I would say this. I've those guns that are shooting far to the right, give those to the officers that usually miss to the left. and vice versa until they get this figured out. And so I think they might actually improve all that accuracy, bam, bam, just like that. So anyway, so
interesting.
That's it. Now, hey, we were talking about Joe Biden's vice presidential pick, Harris.
Yeah.
And so she's never, you know, they're trying to make her out as a moderate, Bill. They really are. They're trying to make her out as this moderate choice.
Well, I just remember the presidential campaign before the whole Kung Flu, and she was a pit bull, especially against Biden.
Oh, that's another thing. Yeah. I mean, I would love to have been a fly on the wall to hear.
Yeah.
Well, how do we answer the question when the media says, do you still think Biden's a racist or something like this? Anyway, so it'll be interesting to find out. So anyways, Kamala has been not shy about saying, we're going to confiscate your guns. But the way she words it is it's a buyback. We're going to buy back your guns, but it's going to be mandatory buyback, which means they're confiscated. You can either take the money or not, but we're taking your guns. So if you want to sell your Second Amendment rights for a $100 Walmart gift card, or just give us the gun one way or the other, we're leaving here with your gun. And that's what a mandatory buyback program is. And she favors that. She actually likes it. When questioned recently, she said, oh yeah, we still have a few kinks to work out, but
yeah, a couple of them,
you know, basically, you know, I don't know. And then she says we have to do something about how the streets are flooded with ARs, with semi-automatic rifles. So your 1022, your semi-auto 1022 is included in the mix. And all the carnage that they are causing. So first off, Kamala, we're at a 40-year low in gun violence. And ARs, of all the gun violence ever, ARs account for the tiniest of tiny percentages of those things. It's if you want to do anything, it's your handgun that she says she owns, a handgun.
Yeah, I think that's going to be their biggest challenge going into this election is you know, how do they say it with a straight face, to be honest?
Well, I mean, all of these schemes, and there are nothing but schemes, fall apart. Didn't she say, what were you talking about, the fugitives from justice, Bill?
She had to reverse the Trump
She said she was mad because she was going to reverse some rule about what now?
Trump allowing fugitives to own firearms.
And this is news to me. I need Kamala to explain that one to me. So if you have any connection with her or her people, could she explain how Donald Trump changed the law so that fugitives from justice can have guns?
Firearms.
So I'm not sure. Anyway, you're going out shooting?
Yeah, I'm going to try to today. I try to stay away from the up in the mountains. I don't want to bother the bow hunters because I know how challenging that can be. But I do want to get out and go do some shooting. So I might have to go to run over to Legacy or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a good idea. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to be here this weekend, so let me know.
Okay. I'll definitely give you a chime. So.
Very good. Thanks for listening to Gun Radio Utah.
Yeah. And stay safe. If you do go out and shoot, be safe. Make sure to watch out for those fires.
See you, Bill.
See ya.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.